Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Today we'll move on to Quran chapter 2 and verse 97 to learn about the angel Jibreel, not the Gabriel of the Bible, the angel Jibreel of Muhammad, and how the Jewish people tried to make Muhammad contradict himself concerning his angel, the one who used to bring to him the Quran from Allah. In Quran chapter 2 and verse 97, we read, say, who was an enemy to Jibreel? So surely he sent it down on your heart by Allah's permission, confirming what is between his hands and guidance and good news to the believers. Now, in the interpretation of Muslim scholars, they tell us about the second Khalifa, which come after Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, a man by the name Umar ibn Khattab. And Umar ibn Khattab used to own a land in the northern part of the city of Medina. As Umar used to go to his land, he used to go by some Jewish school. And he used to sit with them listening to their talk. So they said to him one day, oh Umar, you are the most loved one to us from all the companions of Muhammad, and we are hoping in you. Umar said to them, I swear to Allah, I did not come to you because of your love, or because I am asking anything, or because I am doubting in my religion, he meant in Islam, but I come to you just to gain more knowledge and have more enlightenment concerning the affair of Muhammad. So the Jewish people told him, tell us, Umar, which angel is Muhammad's companion who brings to him the revelations of the Quran? He said, it is the angel Jibreel. They said, oh, this is our enemy. And that is when Umar made the same statement which we have read in Quran chapter 2 and verse 79. Who was an enemy to Jibreel? So surely he sent it down until he came to the end of that verse. When Muhammad heard this conversation between Umar and the Jewish people, and when Muhammad heard that specific statement by Umar, Muhammad said, like that exactly, it was revealed to me. Which means Muhammad liked the sentence which Umar said about Jibreel and how he is the one who descended the Quran on Muhammad's heart. And Muhammad took the same statement word for word and he added to his Quran. And he said to Umar, surely Allah agrees with you, O Umar. Obviously, he should be better saying that, Umar, you are in agreement with Allah, not the opposite. But what we learn from that story is that Muhammad and his companions used to pick up many of the stories of the prophets and many of the other teachings which are found on the pages of the Quran from the people of the book, Jews and Christians. Or what was the purpose for Umar to sit in these Jewish schools to hear the stories of the Bible, as he stated, to increase his knowledge concerning the affairs of Muhammad? And anyone with logic or common sense who reads the Quran and the stories which is spread all over the Quran, which are taken from the Bible, can come up to the same conclusion. Ibn Abbas also stated that the Jewish people came to Muhammad one day and they asked him about five things. They said, if you inform us about these things, we will know for sure that you are a prophet. So they asked him about what Israel forbade himself and what is the mark or the sign of the prophet. And they asked him about the lightning and its voice. And they asked him about how the woman can become a male or a female. And who is the one who brings him the news of heaven? Until they said, so tell us about your companion. So he said, he is Jibreel. They said, Jibreel is the one who gave the commands of war and killing and the torment. Surely he is our enemy. If you have said Michael, who brings Quran with mercy, it would be better. And that's when Muhammad quoted Quran chapter 2 and verse 97 once again. Whoever said that Jibreel is an enemy, so surely he is the one who brings the revelation from Allah. What the Jewish people were hoping to have this conversation with Muhammad is to make him give a new name for that angel, not Jibreel, but Michael or somebody else, because they were hoping they could cause Muhammad to contradict himself concerning the name of the angels who brings him the revelation, and they can use that to destroy his claiming to be a prophet, as he did concerning the direction of prayer. Once he prayed towards the Kaaba, and then he changed his mind and he prayed towards Jerusalem, and then finally he returned to the Kaaba, and they have used that to disprove his claiming to be a true prophet. Now let us talk about the sorcery and Solomon, which is found in Quran chapter 2 and verse 102. Now we have to understand that Quran chapter 2 verse 102 is one of the run-on sentences. And by the time you finish reading the verse, you can't even remember what the verse is talking about. But here is what is written in Quran 2, 102. And they followed what the Satans recite in the kingdom of Solomon. And not that Solomon was an infidel, but the Satans were infidels. They teach the people al-sihr, non-Arabic word, which means sorcery, and what had been sent on the two angels Harut and Marut in Babel. And they did not teach anyone until they said, surely we are only a sedition, so do not become infidels. So they learned from them how to cause divisions between the man and his wife. And they are not harming anyone by it except by Allah's permission. They learned what harms them and it does not profit them. And indeed, they knew who purchased it in the hereafter. He will not have any khalaq, non-Arabic word which means portion. And evil is what they have purchased by themselves if they were knowing. As I mentioned earlier, it's a long verse and there's so many nonsense materials in it. A good example, Muhammad stated that Solomon was not an infidel, but the Satans were infidels. Wow, I never thought a day in my life that Satan or his demons would be good believers, because obviously they are the evil side of the angels. They are not believers. Then he also stated Harut and Marut in Babel. What Harut and Marut and Babel have anything to do with Solomon and the days of Solomon? Wrong geography, hundreds of miles apart. Amazingly, these bad angels were actually honest one, because they never taught any people the sorcery unless first they warned them, we are a sedition, do not become infidels. Wow, will this make any sense to you? If fallen angels would like to teach some people, will they warn them first that I am only a sedition to you, please don't become an infidel, please don't believe in me, please don't obey my commands? Of course that does not make any sense. Now, the biggest problem we have here is that these fallen angels used to harm husbands and wife by causing divisions between them. And then he gave us a wonderful, very comfortable sentence that these fallen angels can only harm people with the permission of Allah. Allah gives them the okay to harm people, which is good. I'm here speaking sarcastically, of course, because we know Allah is Satan. So how can Allah would give permission for himself and his angels to harm people or cause division between spouses? Now, these fallen angels have the knowledge of who purchased it, which is the wicked things, the sedition, the harmful things in the hereafter. And they will not have any portion of it, for they purchased it for themselves. That is only if they knew.
Muslims claim that the Quran is the final revelation of Allah to mankind, a perfect book given to us through Muhammad. Islam challenges that, upon reading the Quran, the seeker is at once convinced that it is the very word of Allah. Muslims declare that no mere man could have written such a perfect collection of verses, covering a wide variety of topics, events, and doctrines. Within the pages of the Quran, one will find familiar events and people such as the creation, the flood, Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and Jesus.
but even the casual reader will notice distinct and striking differences between the Quranic and the much older biblical accounts of the same topics. Muslim apologists will contend that it is the Bible which has been corrupted. The Straight Wave Grace Ministry is pleased to announce the release of a challenging and thought-provoking two-volume book series titled Exposing the Truth About the Quran. Containing over 800 pages of detailed research, the author examines these claims through careful comparisons of Quranic, biblical, historical, and archaeological records. The reader will soon discover that the Quran does not even agree with itself and is completely at odds with biblical and historical accounts. Exposing the Truth About the Quran, Volumes 1 and 2, are available now. After 14 centuries of blind adherence, now is the time for critical and thoughtful examination. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. And now, back to our show.
Here is what Muslim scholars said about Solomon and the learning of sorceries. Muslim scholars or interpreters stated that the Satans wrote the sorcery on the tongue of Asaph, and they stated that Asaph was the son of Barachiah, the son of King Solomon. And it was said that the children of Israel got busy to learn the sorcery in his days, but Solomon forbade them. And King Solomon took all their sorcery books and he buried it under his bed. So when Solomon died, Satans took these books and they said to the people, "Surely your King Solomon is the one who learned it." But the Jewish people denied that and they said, "Prophet Solomon was a king and the jinn were subdued to him." By the way, that is what Muhammad taught in the Quran, that some of the jinn used to work for Solomon. Some of them actually were building for him, and some of them were divers for him, and some of them do this and some of them do that. So Muhammad had a big propaganda about Solomon and the jinn, as he stated actually in the end of the life of Solomon when he died. He was leaning on a staff for a whole year, and all these jinns were still working for him, not realizing that Solomon has been dead for a whole year, until some worm ate the bottom of the staff, and that's when his body fell off. And that's when people and the jinn found out that Solomon has been dead for a whole year. Just use your imagination of how Allah, Jibreel, and Muhammad made up many stories about Solomon. He was a very wise man. Even his death, he was dead for a whole year, and nobody recognized or noticed that. Now, the Jewish people said that the jinn and the human were made servants to Solomon because of his sorcery. But the Quran, the word of Allah, exposed their lies by telling us, no, Solomon was not an infidel. Ibn Abbas, the first cousin of Muhammad, assured us, when the angels saw what goes up into the heaven from the work of the sons of Adam, the evil works of the son of Adam, from the days of Idris and others, the angels told Allah, these are the one who you made successor on earth, and you chose them, and they disobey you. Then Allah said to the angels, if I have sent you down to the earth, and I put on you what I put on them, meaning that Allah will make the angels like human, you would have committed the same sin they are committing. So they said, praise be to you, we were not here to disobey you. So Allah said, choose two angels from the best of you, and I will send them down to earth. So they chose two angels, one by the name Harut, and the other one by the name Marut. And they were the best of the angels. So Allah put in them the lust, and he brought them to the earth, and he orders them to judge between the people with the truth, and he forbade them from committing shirk, which is to associate any person with Allah, and he forbade them the killing without the truth. He forbade them the adultery and the drinking of the wine. So they used to judge between the people during the day, and they go up to heaven at night. So a beautiful woman from the best of the people of Pharaoh came to them, so she seduced them, so they judge in favor of her. Not only that, they actually worship idols for their love for her. And when they chose to come back again to heaven at night, their wings will not obey them. So they went to address the prophet and they ask him to intercede on their behalf. So he gives them the choice between the torment of this world and the torment of the hereafter. So they chose the torment of this world. And until today, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, these two angels are hanging in Babel from their hair until the day of the judgment will come. Obviously, as you have heard the fabrication or what we call the interpretation of Muslim scholars, we learn many errors. The first error, the Quran stated that it was not in the days of Prophet Solomon Satan taught the people sorcery. Worse than that, that Allah is the one who sent upon these two angels the sorcery, meaning to deceive. When Muslim scholars figured this out, they thought that is not good. It was not accepted. Ibn Jarir al-Tabari said, "Praise be to Allah to teach these angels the sorcery and to make them sedition to his servant from the children of Adam." But they used to tell those who came to learn from them that they are a sedition. Now we respond to that by stating, God forbid that he put a stumbling to the children of Adam by bringing teachers specially to teach people to go astray. Don't forget what we read in the book of Exodus, chapter 22 and verse 18. The word of God is very clear. You shall not permit a sorceress to live. So how can God order the children of Israel to kill the sorcerers and at the same time he himself brings two angels to teach people sorcery? Also, we read in the book of Leviticus, chapter 20 and verse 27, the judgment of God on the sorceress. And there we read, a man or a woman who is a medium or who has familiar spirits shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them. We also read in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18 and verse 10, the following. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer. So obviously, it does not make any sense that God, the God of the Bible, who teach all these facts and the punishment for those who commit sorcery, will bring two angels on earth for the purpose of teaching people sorcery. The only conclusion I can come up with that is that Allah, the God of Muhammad, is the Satan of the Bible. Add to that, here is what we learn from the New Testament. In the book of Acts, chapter 19 and verse 19, we read the following. Also, many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all, and they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. That is how many books were burned on that day. Those are the new believers who left the evil acts of the devil to worship Jesus Christ after they became born again Christians. Then we wait 600 years for Muhammad to teach all these lies, not only about Solomon and the people in Solomon days, but about Allah, the God of Muhammad, and sorceries. The second important error I'd like to share with you here is that angels are infallible. They do not serve sin because they are the servant of God who obey him and who fulfill his words. And as we read here in the Quran, we see that they were causing people to sin. And that is the opposite of the truth which we see throughout the pages of the Bible. Not only that passage we read in Quran chapter 2 verse 102 goes against the Bible, but it also contradicts the Quran itself. For we have many verses in the Quran teaches that angels do not disobey God, and they do not do but what they are ordered. They worship Allah, and they fear Allah, and they only do what they are commanded. You can read about that in Quran chapter 66 verse 6, Quran chapter 21 verse 20, and Quran chapter 16 and verse 50. But the story of these two angels, Harut and Marut, destroyed the mind of the Muslims. So sometimes they see angels as infallible, and sometimes they see them falling in sin and teaching others to live in the sin of sorcery, as we have seen here in that passage, Quran 2:102. As for the third error, we never read in the Bible that the Jewish people claimed that Solomon was an infidel, and they did not believe in him, but they loved him, and he had a high position in their line of kings, especially when we know about the wisdom which God has given him. As we know from 1 Kings chapter 4, verses 30 and 34, the following. Thus, Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the men of the East and all the wisdom of Egypt. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. Also, he spoke of trees, from the cedar tree of Lebanon, even to the hyssop that springs out of the wall. He spoke also of animals and birds and creeping things and of fish. Notice here the Bible said that Solomon spoke of these creatures, but somehow Muhammad misunderstood it in the Quran, and he made Solomon speaking to the creatures. And that is another subject for another time. The last error I would like to cover here is that the Quran stated that these two angels were in Babel, which confused people geographically, because now people think that Solomon was a king in Babel, when in reality he was a king in Jerusalem. Don't forget, my dear friends, that Muslims always say they believe in Solomon and in his prophethood and in his book, when in reality they know nothing about Solomon's kingdom nor his prophethood. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.